Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, March 25th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others, and we are on page 99. We'll be reading and commenting on the second paragraph, which begins with If There Be Divorce. Today's readers are Patty T. for the 12 Steps, Martha M. for the 12 Traditions, Penny L. C., Leslie W., and Terry S. After that, we'll have Kara L. greet newcomers and get numbers from available sponsors, and we have Leslie W. closing out the meeting with some important announcements. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for yesterday, March 24th, Tuesday, is 14302. That's 14302. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Wednesday, March 25th, is 14310. That's 14310. The OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Patty T. to please read the 12 steps.
Thank you, Elaine. This is Patty T., recovering from Southern California, the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Patty T. And I'll ask Martha M. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a compulsive under and overeater. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. I pass and I thank you for the opportunity to do service, and I'm wishing everybody a healthy day. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Martha. Ditto that. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter Working with Others on page 99, and we're reading and commenting on one paragraph only, paragraph 2. And I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine, for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. If there be divorce or separation, there should be no undue haste for the couple to get together. The man should be sure of his recovery. The wife should be fully the wife should fully understand his new way of life. If their relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis, since the former did not work. This means a new attitude and spirit all around. Sometimes it is to the best interests of all concerned that the couple remain apart. Obviously, no rule can be laid down. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. When the time for living together has come, it will be apparent to both parties. And what I reflect on this paragraph is trying to take it a little bit more in a broader sense in terms of relationships in general. It points to, you know, principles in with relationships, principles that I've been learning in recovery. And those have a chance to play out here. You know, in the past, I had been following my will, being controlling and manipulative and managing in my relationships. And in recovery, I've learned a new way of living, and I have an opportunity to follow my higher power's will and to practice surrender, love, willingness, humility, and service to others, and to especially those close to me in my relationships. There's mending to be done. I had a lot of work to do to mend the things that I had broken down in relationships with my family members. And but what I also knew at the time and continue to know is that I need to focus on my recovery. And as it said a paragraph on a couple paragraphs before this, to know that the only that the burn the idea of the consciousness of every man that he can get well regardless of anyone. The condition is that he trusts in God and clean house. So my relationships will be working themselves out as I put effort into them and if I'm following God's will. But I've got to be taking care of myself and my program and focusing, staying focused on being recovered. What's important, too, is to not have any expectations of how things are going to turn out and to just keep seeking God's will. I know that I won't and can't stay recovered based on what anyone else says or does. I can't stay recovered for anyone or because of anyone. This is my work to do, and I need to do it, but then I also need to take it forward in my relationships and be the best that I believe God would have me be in that moment. And just keep working my program. Undue haste is mentioned here. And I think that's really appropriate because I used to do everything hastily, just jump into things without thinking or speak first and apologize later. And instead, program has taught me to pause and look to God's will. And that has made all the difference. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny LC. Great start. Important instruction, especially in these close proximities. Who would like to comment on that paragraph?
Carolyn Bruce C. E.
Malky G.
Julie E. B.
Bruce. I heard Bruce C. Carolyn. I believe
Malky
it was
Julie.
G. Julie E. B.
Malky G.
Yeah, gotcha. Two more.
Terry F.
Terry F.
Did you get Kimberly C?
I didn't, but I do now. Gotcha now. And in my chicken straw, oh goodness, I can't. I'm not sure if that first name was Carly. Was there a Carly or a Lori that I heard?
Marilyn T.
Okay. The first name that I had was like Carly or Lori, and I can't read my own writing. If that was you, please let me know you're there. I've also got Brucey, I believe it was Julie E.B., Malky G., Terry S., and Kimberly C. So maybe it was Marilyn T., and I cannot read my own writing. Yeah, that I could definitely see Marilyn in this. Marilyn, let's kick off with you, and we're going to be followed by Bruce E. Thanks for your grace.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Marilyn T.
Okay.
And if you're not
okay.
Marilyn, please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Thank you. Marilyn T., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Central California. Thank you. It's so hard. It must be so hard, that job of trying to hear that person as everyone is shouting at you. God bless you. When I look at that paragraph we just read, I see what comes to me besides thinking about my own life, but what comes to me is that my higher power has to be bigger than my circumstances. And circumstances could be anything, right? For me, it was the death of my son. For me, it was my disease as a food addict. For me, it was, family, people. For me, it was everything. Everything to me was over. I'm overly sensitive and frequently wrong. I love when my sponsor shared that with me, was overly sensitive and frequently wrong. And before recovery, that could be on my epitaph, on my tombstone. I react to everything like a hangnail is a death in the family. And then a death in the family is like a hangnail. And that because I have a diseased brain, I have to have a higher power that has to be bigger than all of that. Because I have no power. And that is why I am a compulsive overeater. And I found my power, which is my higher power. So that just trumps everything for me. That is how I stay a recovered person. That is how I stay in service. That is how I stay in this program. That is how I live in this world in these times, is because my higher power is bigger than all of the rest. And that is a continued relationship that I have to nurture and foster to be able to receive the gifts of this program, which I am very grateful for. And thank you all for being here, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Marilyn T. Brucey, you're up next, followed by Julie E.B. Star one to unmute, Bruce.
Well, thank you. Sorry for that delay there. It's Bruce E., and I'm recovering in Southwest Florida. Yeah, if there be divorce or separation, the man should be sure of his recovery. And it goes down to say, it must be on a better basis since the former did not work. Let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. So, I was single for a long time, got married when I was 36, 38. That marriage crashed and burned within about 2 years, or within about a year, actually. I think we're separated and then divorced. I had my whole life and future pinned on that marriage. You know, I thought it was going to be tremendous. It's going to be the perfect marriage. I was a drug addict and an alcoholic, and my wife was a food addict, and that marriage did not work. And so the man should be sure of his recovery. And then down below it says it must be on a better basis since the former did not work. So a couple years later, met my wife that I have now. We've been married 35 years, and this one has worked. And I knew that it had to be on a better basis because the former did not work. I could look at the former and say, man, what didn't work about that? Well, I was, you know, active addict. And so then I get into this marriage and I find out I'm a food addict. So I had to do what it says here. I had to continue the program day by day. And I had to get off this thing about blaming everybody for my addiction, blaming, you know, everybody around me, and start taking responsibility for it. The man should be sure of his recovery. Well, I've come a whole long ways since those days back then. And that divorce and that separation helped me to become what I am today. I really learned a lot from that. And I'm really working to have not only to be recovered, but to have a good and stay on a food plan and work this program every day, but to have a good marriage. I'm really working on that. And with this thing that's going on now, I'm spending a lot more time with my wife. We're almost getting to know each other again. You know, I mean, we're spending so much time together. And that's been very, very beneficial. A new attitude and spirit all around. Yes. And let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. And that's what I'm doing. Every day I'm trying to be on this call, calling people, taking calls, doing 10 steps, writing, reading, all the stuff that's necessary to continue to be recovered. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bruce E. And Julie E.B., you're up next, followed by Malky G. Please go ahead, Julie.
Hi, Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs, and so grateful, you know, for a lot of prayers and encouragement in going through this illness here and being on the other side. If there be divorce or separation, no undue haste. So the way this worked in my relationship is that, you know, I came into this program a few years ago and got recovered a few years ago. And first thing I did was it talks about Sure of His Recovery. I did a lot of work with on the phone, a lot of 10 steps, giving them and receiving them and learning how to be an 11-step partner. Make friends in program and recovery. And it was like practicing. And then I started to be able to see God removing some of those character defects there and seeing God remove some of them in my workplace. That was my next sphere that I went to. And it's only really been the last few months I asked God to help me fall in love with my husband again. As our kids were preparing to leave the nest, who knew they would all be back for the next few months, at least, and God did that, and I did my work, He did His work, and then we did a marriage book together. But the point is, that was like a few years, and I had to change a lot so that I wasn't always raising His alarm bells, and we learned to have fondness and admiration for each other, and it has to be on this better basis of fondness. And this is a new attitude and spirit that He's been so gracious and merciful, like my higher power, slow to anger, abounding steadfast love. You know, I am grateful. I am the tornado. I'm grateful that I still have a house. But there was a period where we just kind of were living as roommates and each recovering in our own corner and just doing this day by day. And today, as He's become sick, assuming with this same thing that I have, you know, He's having so much trouble, like not going to work and calling and saying he can't help his people and just being sick. And because of this program, I could talk to him on a different basis. At first, I was just making him really bristle and be stubborn. And I'm just like, well, what matters most to you? And I know it's his family and his higher power. And I know he's responsible and cares so much for the people he works for and making sure that they're well, their vulnerable adult population that he works with. And so anyway, this is life-saving today to have a better relationship with him, to let him be able to be sick and build his immunity and be able to be sick and me to be helpful to him is a miracle. When I started this program, I thought there was no way my marriage could survive the 23
gentle
years
reminder.
Of pain. Yeah, thank you so much. And it is apparent to both parties. And thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B. Powerful. Oh, great shares. Melky G., you are up next, and you're followed by Terry S. Please go ahead, Melky.
Hi, good morning. It's Melky G. from New Jersey. This paragraph really spoke to me. If there's one area that God had came through in my life in a way that I could have never done for myself, it's in this area of my marriage. I have been filled to capacity with resentments and anger. I have done a couple of very thorough 4 steps, and 90% were filled on resentments towards my husband. And many of them were quite justified resentments. And a heart that is filled to capacity with resentments and anger the way mine was leaves no room for any relationship or any love towards another person. And I was just spewing, and the resentments were really killing me to the point that I really was affected physically, my health was affected, and to the place I couldn't even work and run my house effectively. And I had to do more than one very thorough 4-step and going through the steps to start really cleaning out everything that was inside me. And little by little, as I did the work, I just kept doing the work and kept doing the work, seeing no results at all, but just kept doing it. I came to the place I was able to even write my ninth step amends, where I was able to see my part and write the amends. And then it came to the point recently, a couple of months ago, where I have to now give over the amends, and I can't, and I just halted. I couldn't do that. I couldn't get that far to the point that I picked up. Thank God it was only for a day, and I got right back on, but that scared the daylights out of me. And it pushed me to make those amends, and it was probably one of the scariest things I've done. And I didn't even feel all of it at the time, but I did it. And God had really done something for me, because he cleaned out something in my heart that I never thought I could have done. At best, I thought if I would work these steps and I would do my work towards my husband, I would just get to be accepting and tolerant of him and maybe just live together under the same roof without so much anger and resentment. But God has given me so much more than that, so much more than that. It just baffles me. And I really wanted to share that on the line today. And what really is coming up to me is let the alcoholic continue his program day by day. That's probably one area where I faulted so badly in my relationship. I can be holding on to such a strong program and doing so well, and then my relationship will come in the way, and I would just lose program, and everything I've learned would just crumble so quickly. And today, I hold on to program, and I walk my program day by day no matter what. And there were so many times now, as I'm working on rebuilding a new relationship with my husband, where I feel I'm doing something bad for the relationship, and I'm making boundaries and I shouldn't, and I'm talking it over, I'm making 10 steps, and I think, oh no, I just messed this relationship, but I'm holding on to program and I feel it. It's miraculous how things have changed, and I thought I was making things worse for the relationship by sticking to program. So there are many times that I want to share that's really working for me. There are times,
gentle reminder,
I don't want to do things that I don't feel like doing things, and I stick to the terms and to this program, and it's miraculous what's happening in my relationship day by day. Thanks for listening, and that I pass.
Thank you for sharing, Malky G. Terry S., you are up next, and then after Kimberly C., we'll take another line up for people who are commenting on page 99, paragraph 2. Please go ahead, Terry.
Good morning, everyone on the line. Welcome to the newcomers and all of the stay-at-home, shelter-in-place, whatever. And welcome especially to my fellow nurses and healthcare workers, because we are out on the front lines. I am a recovered food addict in Bend, Oregon, and this is a good paragraph for me as a sponsor, because I do work with lots of people that are married, and it reminds me that I am not their marriage counselor. As a all-lifetime single person, what I like is the sentence that it means a new attitude and spirit all around. And that relates to me and my relationships, friends, work, partners, family. If I don't have a new attitude and a new spirit, all they see is Terry's on another diet. What happens with the 12 steps with me and with us is we start tuning into our higher power. We're listening actively, even if it's just moments during the day. And those intuitive thoughts are becoming a working part of the mind as we're going through the steps. When I have that new attitude and that new spirit of helpfulness, how can I be of service? Love and tolerance is our code. That is what makes the difference in my life and how I'm impacting other people. It's truly a miracle that I'm not overreacting to so many things in my life, because that's always been how I've done life, is I overreact. And then I build up resentments and horrible amounts of fear. And I either become paralyzed or rageful or, sorry, that's my cat. I don't react in good, positive ways. And so when this time for living has come, it will be apparent. And I'm kind of paraphrasing that, cut some words out, but that's the point of my recovery is, am I going to live life on life's terms? When does this become apparent to me? And how do I step up? How do I step out?
Just a reminder.
And be present in my life. And with that, I pass, and I thanks, bless everyone for their day.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your frontline service and everybody who is doing that. Powerful stuff. Thank you. Kimberly C., you're up next, and then we'll take a lineup on page 99, paragraph 2. Please go ahead, Kimberly.
Hi, I'm Kimberly C. from Anaheim, and I am recently recovered compulsive overeater. This is my first time sharing today, and I've been listening for a few months now. And I've really been thinking about what to share, and this is a paragraph that really stuck out to me because I've always struggled with my relationship with my husband, and I didn't realize until I found out that I was sick that it was my fault, at least 50% of it, and I was so used to just blaming him for all of my problems and trying to control him and all the people around me. I'm so grateful for this meeting and for the opportunity I have to learn from so many people all over the world. There's so many instances when I'm listening to the vision meetings, whether they're recorded or live, and I just feel so close to my higher power, and I feel connected to the words that everyone says. In the paragraph, I really love the sentence that says, "This means a new attitude and spirit all around." And I really didn't think that my husband would change at all, that he was even noticing the change that I was making. And it wasn't until 2 days ago that he came home from a jog, and he was talking to a friend on the phone, and he said, "I was bragging about you to so-and-so," and I was like, "About what?" And he said, "About how good you're doing and how zen you are now." And if you've known me, zen is like the last thing I am, because I was diagnosed with anxiety disorder when I was 12, and so worry has always been a part of my life. And I've never really had peace, and this program has given me peace, and I'm so indebted to the people who showed me vision and the big book, and really helped me find a relationship with my higher power that's unlike anything I thought it could be. And I just wanted to share that, and with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Kimberly C. I can relate to that. This relationship with the higher power is not like anything I thought it could be, just better and better all the time. Who would like to comment on paragraph 2, page 99?
Sherry K. B.
Low H.
I heard Sherry K. B. Low H. And
Darian K.
Darian K.
Leah S.
Michelle J.
Michelle J.
CTT.
Stacy T, I believe.
CT, I use my initials.
Oh, CT. Okay, so I got Sherry KB, Mo H, Darian L, Leah F, Michelle J, and CT. And I can't believe I got all that. Oh, I wish we had a 6-hour meeting so that we could hear from everybody. So, but here's what we got. Sherry KB with Mo H following her. Please go ahead, Sherry.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. Sherry K. being in Northern California, very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers, and all of you who are new or just listening and have for a long time. Really grateful to be here. This paragraph, you know, when it talks about the ifs in here, it's telling us if we have a situation, and then right afterwards it tells us what we need to do. And I love that about this book, if you pay attention to the ifs. And so for me, you know, my recovery has to come first. That's what I've learned. Due to doing the work this way in this book through with a step guide when I went through 4 years ago, it's changed my life. It's changed my attitude towards so many things. Because don't you know, poor me and another hot fudge Sunday, I had all these problems with my husband, and it was all his fault, and he did this, and he did that, and blah, 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 the hee-hees. And, you know, when I did the step work, and I went through step four, and when I finally got the definition of what it meant to be selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and afraid, it changed my life completely. And, you know, I did not take responsibility for all the years that I ate at my husband around everything. You know, I always was pointing the finger at him, not saying that he didn't do things, but the thing was is that I was taking his inventory constantly. And due to doing this work and how I live my life differently today, I'll never forget when I made an amends to him. His mouth dropped open. He was like in shock. And the thing is that it says here, and this is so important, if their old relationship is to be resumed, it must be on a better basis since the former did not work. This means a new attitude and spirit all around. You know, I still, I can remember back in the day when I used to say, my part in this is blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't do that anymore. I don't point the finger saying he has a part. I just clean up my side of the street and my part, and I don't even mention his part at all. And you know what? I wasn't including God in this at all. I was trying to run the Sherry Show. I made it all about me when I was in my self-will, which is the voice of my disease. It made such a difference when I did this work, and it does change the relationships around me. And it's made an amazing, amazing experience for me, and continues to do so. And I'm just so grateful for this experience, because I know that I can look at what's going on with me. And usually when I'm disturbed, it's, you know, like it says. And thank God for God. My past. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much, Sherry KB. So I kind of didn't calculate well when I was taking this list. If everybody could shave a little time off of their share, then there'll be plenty of time for everybody. Mo H., you are up next, and you're followed by Darian K., or maybe it's Darian L. Please go ahead, Mo.
Oh, thank you very much for your service, Kathy. This is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. And again, welcome to all those who are on the line and those who are new to this meeting. When I read this paragraph, I had a little different take on it, and I think some people have. The first share was, and I put it onto just relationships rather than husband and wife, even though that's what it mentions. I had a miracle happen here in this house during this time of shelter in place. Last week, my husband was supposed to have surgery, and that got canceled. And my daughter was coming from Las Vegas to be here with him during that time, and me, and she decided to come anyway. And we couldn't do it. We couldn't go anywhere. We couldn't do anything. We had to shelter in place. And she and I have had a strained relationship from whenever, probably birth, but it got worse when I gave her her own bedroom downstairs, and she felt very separated from the family. And she's the youngest of five, and she has felt separated from the family forever, and she's now 40. At 18, she moved out, and we just had a really difficult relationship. Not angry, but just couldn't connect at a heart level. Well, that week she was here, something happened, and I'm to higher power, to God, and to program work, and maybe to her own work, that she watched home videos for 2 days with her husband and got to see that I was a pretty good mother, that she always said I wasn't there for her. I wasn't there for her. And she could see that I was there for her. In fact, she commented at the end of the visit, she said, thank you for not being on the phone while I'm here. And that was one of her issues with me, especially after I got into program. I made a sincere effort to be present to her. And as a result, there's an app on your phone called Marco Polo, and it's video chatting, and I do it with my other daughters, and she has joined that app, and it warms my heart. God did this for us. We couldn't do it ourselves, and I am just so appreciative, and I'll cut my share there. Thank you.
Oh, what a beautiful share, and thank you for that extra minute. It makes a big difference for everybody to have time. Darian Kay, you're up next, followed by Leah S.
Hi there. Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yes, I hear you. Just great.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yep,
okay.
Darian Kay. My middle name starts with L, so it could be L, whatever. Yeah, super grateful to be here. I'm Darian Kay from the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. So good to hear all the shares. Also the kitty, I appreciate, because my kitty loved having a little friend to talk to. And I just thinking in terms of relationships and also program. When I came in, it was proposed to me that the order of things should be program, family, job. And I thought, what? I'm going to put anything before my family? That's absurd, right? And, you know, people explained to me that, you know what, if your program is in a good place, and if you're working your program and doing all the things, and it's a lot of work, really, if you think about it, benefits are fabulous, but a lot of work, then your family benefits, and then your job benefits. So it's a trickle-down situation. And so it made perfect sense to me. But I was thinking that, you know, I've been in program a really long time, and all through my program, I have had people in my life that have been so supportive of all the work that I needed to do and the time that I needed to take, whether it be talking to sponsors, sponsees, doing some writing, reading my prayers, you know, just all the things that are involved to keep my program strong. These people in my life have been very supportive and even encouraging, you know, when I'm feeling off, you know, saying, well, maybe you need to listen to a meeting, or, maybe you should do some writing on that. And maybe I don't always want to hear that, but it's good advice, because they know what I've been doing. And, I've remained accountable all these years. And so, you know, that's where I'm going with this paragraph, is that, the people in our lives, the people that we're closest to, especially, put up with a lot, I need to be grateful for them giving me the time that I need to do what I got to do so that I can keep what I have. So I will end with that. Thank you so much, everyone, for being out there for me today. I pass.
Thank you so much, Darian Kay. Leah S., you are up next, followed by Michelle J., and if you'll keep your shares for about 2 minutes, we'll have time for CT as well. Please go ahead, Leah.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm so grateful to be on this line and to be able to share about such a personal subject for me. So in my mind, I was honestly always thinking that I'm already divorced and there's just no communication at all. And nobody's going to come in and serve as my marriage counselor. And I realized that a lot of resentments were coming from this source. And what was my part? And when I finally understood that I have to change the way I think, I have to do the way I used to do it a little bit differently, then things started to change. And even then, I'd had no expectations that things would change. But all of a sudden, there was politeness. All of a sudden, there was some respect. all of a sudden there was just unbelievable. I felt love, and it had such an effect on me. So this is not about the other person that you're living with, but it continues on and on. It's just always looking at my side of the street when I'm angry, and what did I do to cause that? And that's all that I have to do. And a remarkable thing happened, because people do not change just because I changed all the time. So I still have to live with what I want to live with. And this week, my husband is home, and he never did any renovations in this house, absolutely any. And now I asked him very simply, I would like to spend money and call a handyman. And he says, where are you going to get a handyman in this day and age? I mean, even if it's 2020. And I said, okay, forget it. You're right. You are right. Nobody, I don't want to let anyone in. And what happened was I went about my work, and I continued reorganizing a certain room, and I came out to the kitchen, and he had done that renovation. He put the microwave into the closet so that the closet door can close. He did it just like that. I was astounded. So this program works no matter where and how long ago and wherever. It just works. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Leah S. Okay, Michelle J., you're up next, and please go ahead.
Hey, Michelle J. here from Arkansas. Thank you, everybody. Real quick, just the realization that a year and a half ago when I started program, the food and straightforwardness, you know, that recovery became, it was pretty easy for me. And still is kind of easy for me in comparison to my relationships. And like Mo and some of the others, you know, it's kind of an expanded version where I'm thinking about all my relationships instead of the couple of divorces that I've had. But I'm often say, hey, I'm recovered and recovering, because I'm recovered in the food, praise God, but I'm still recovering in relationships. And sometimes I'm working on those relationships on a daily basis. There are people that God says now, but there are still some a year and 7 months later that I know I'm not ready yet. And I have to wait to restore those relationships. So sometimes the waiting is important, even though, you know, I would love to have restoration in these relationships, but I need to be more prepared in my program and in my recovery. And so just I'm going with God. Whatever he puts me in progress to do, it's not perfection. It's just progress. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. And CT, we have time for a two-minute share. Please go ahead.
Good morning, this is CTT. I use my initials in Newport Beach, California. I'm recovering. At first, I didn't think I had much to share on this because we get in our heads. But when I came in the program, I was divorced, and that in turn divorced me from my child, who at age 13, I came back into their lives. And with the grace of God and a sponsor, very important, she suggested that I go and see Whitney every Tuesday night before the meeting I was going to. And at first, it was very uncomfortable. I'd be in my car, and I'd pray, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. And I'd show up, and sometimes it was a 15-minute meeting because we just didn't have anything in common or anything to talk about. And about 3 years later, I'll fast forward, I remember telling that meeting that I went to every Tuesday night, I'm not going to come anymore because I'm spending the entire evening with Whitney. And that took every Tuesday for 3 years to get to that place. Today, Whitney is going to be 40 years old, and she has my baby grandson, well, he's three. And sometimes she calls me and asks me for my opinion. And sometimes we talk about food and addiction. And sometimes we talk about husbands and life and family. And that was all due to being in recovery, working the steps, oh my gosh, praying to Great Spirit as much as I can. trusting my higher power and having faith and trust in what works. And I'm so grateful for this 12-step program. And I'm also grateful for Zoom meetings. I have such great connection with people in meetings. I'm out of breath because I was walking. But I'm so grateful, grateful, grateful. And today, I often go to Whitney and say, what would you do in this situation? Because she has become a brilliant woman. And oftentimes, she equates that to the program, 12-step programs that I'm in. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much, CT, and thank you, everybody who has shared. We're going to transition the meeting now by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Leslie W. please read a vision for you?
I will. This is Leslie W., recovered in Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.